Amen. We open our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 8. We'll read from verse 40. I have to commend our brother this morning for singing because he came in without a voice. So, anyway, that's a trooper for you. Let's just read from Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were waiting for him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we reading, Lord, this morning from the book of Luke, which is your Christmas message, the Alpha, coming of Christ. And we realize, Lord, that we are living in the Omega, which the two ministries are to be identical. And we see that the people received him, those that were waiting for him. And so, Father, these people had great expectation to see the coming of Messiah. And those in this hour that have great expectation, O God, that are living every day with expectation in their hearts of the soon resurrection meeting, the catching away, the going home, all these wonderful things that you're doing in this hour. And Father, we just commit ourselves to what you're doing, your great reset. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the world is talking about their reset, you know. We're going to talk a little bit about that as we show the Alpha and Omega. So, this morning, I'd like to focus our thinking on one word, and that's expectations. For we know that God's Word is full of expectations for us, and we're living with expectations for His Word, not only to be fulfilled to us, but also fulfilled through us. And we're expecting the full and complete Alpha ministry of Jesus Christ to be fulfilled in this Omega season that we're now living. We saw it in the prophet, William Branham, and we see there are other promises for the elect in this hour. And we're here with great expectation to believe that one of these days those scriptures will be completely fulfilled. Now, this morning, in one day past or post-Christmas, and many a child at home yesterday, they laid awake almost the entire night, waiting to arise early on Christmas morning to see what awaits them in terms of gifts, and whether it be toys or new clothing, it doesn't really matter. Well, it might matter to some, the youngest ones, but the excitement, the physical and emotional energy that was spent was not so much spent on what the gifts might be, but the anxiety awaiting to receive whatever gift would be given them. In other words, not fully understanding exactly what you're going to get, but you're, with all great anticipation, you're waiting to receive those gifts. It is the expectation that brings the excitement. If we truly believe that we are going to receive, then we can hardly wait, and the waiting seems to build up within us an excitement that brings with it an energy. An energy that we don't normally have. As a child, we were to bed around 8 o'clock every night of the year, except for one time every year, and that was Christmas Eve. Growing up as Catholic, we had certain rituals or traditions, like attending a midnight service on Christmas Eve. And it was the one time each year that we would stay up late, and I think perhaps my parents just wanted us to be wore out to get our minds off of what was coming the next morning. Because back in those days, they didn't put things under the tree. They waited till Christmas night, and when the kids were asleep, and then they went to their hiding places throughout the house and up in the attic in different places. Of course, we all had it figured out, because we would send Mom and Dad, you know, we'd have them go out to visit a neighbor or something, and while they're gone, one would stand guard and the rest would be looking everywhere. But our belief was based upon what we knew to be true. Each year was about the same thing. Mom and Dad went out shopping and would hide the gifts in the closet. We'd manage to get them out of the house and get our sneak peeks into what we were getting. So, but knowing that there were gifts, and even knowing what they were, it helped to ensure our little minds that it was only a matter of waiting until the green light said go. And it was a dash to the tree and a madhouse of flying paper, and the air was filled with excitement. How much more so should we be when God's reset is getting ready to turn the clock. But you see, the excitement is because we are looking forward to that day. I also remember a few very long days in my life when I had done something bad, and my mother would say, "You just wait until your father gets home." Well, that was a different kind of excitement. That was also a different kind of expectation. She wasn't the type of mother who would ground us to the house or to the yard. Her way of grounding was, "You leave and go play and don't come home until your father gets home." That was my mom's way of grounding us, grounding away from the house. No, if we got grounded by my mother, it was just the opposite. Don't come home till dad gets home. I can remember very long days hiding in the woods or out in the fields, knowing when dad got home I was going to get it. The worst time of waiting was when he was out of town on a business trip, and we had to wait several days, knowing that when he did get home, then we would get it. So, you know, that's the longer you wait, the harder it is. There was no joy in those waiting moments. There was no excitement about dad coming home at those times. It was more anxiety than being anxious for Christmas. So there are two types of expectation and two types of waiting. One for receiving the promises of God, and the other for those who are not His. And their expectation is one of doom and gloom. And I'm sure in this day and hour, with all of what's going on, you meet many of those people who don't know. They just are so afraid of what the next step is going to be. And it's interesting that one form of expectation brings joy, while the other brings anxiety and worry. And that all depends on your revelation of God and who you are. If you believe that He is your loving Father, you can hardly wait for those loose ends to become manifested so that you can get out of here. But if you're not His, then you will worry and become anxious, filled with anxiety from what you see that's coming on the earth. So as we see the darkness coming in, if you're His, you see the light getting ready to take you out. If you don't, then this is a day and hour which is described by the Bible as hard to deal with and hard to bear. And therefore, thinking about the events that lay upon us, we are either in a state of great anxiety or great anticipation. And therefore, I ask you this morning, which state are you in? However, if we do not believe, we will receive a body change and an invitation to the resurrection meeting. I believe there will be an invitation given out, because when the woman checked the list, she checked to see if their names were on it. And the wedding supper, then I can imagine your anticipation will be more of an anxiety and terror. Or if we are like most people on earth who have no personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, then what is there to get excited about, knowing the mark of the beast and the boycott will be fulfilled and the mass murder of humans, or the human population, will be complete? Those days are not what most people look forward to with joy in their heart. And so it was with the first coming of the Son of God, and so is it with the great preview of the appearing. Remember, Alpha repeats in Omega. And the days up to and including the birth and several years after the birth of the Son of God, in the Alpha, there was Roman armies that were taking over the world and stamping out all opposition to its control. And the atmosphere was no different than what we are seeing today. But in the midst of all of that, there was only a handful of people who did not focus on all that negative, because they saw that negative as a setting for the positive that God had promised them in His Word. Men like Simeon, an old man, that God had given him a very spiritual dream that he would see the Messiah before he died. And Anna, an old blind prophetess, that God had showed her that she too would see the Lord Christ before she departed from the world. And the early church of that day was not made up of millions, nor even thousands, nor even hundreds, but just a handful of individuals who had a personal relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, and they looked on with anticipation of seeing the Lord's Christ. Now, how many people in this hour understand the appearing before the coming? How many people in this hour truly believe He's already here, and he's got a few things more to do? He descended with a shout, a voice, a message. The voice of the resurrection is coming up. And then the trump which takes us out of here, but it turns the gospel to the Jews. And yet then God goes to work on 144,000 over there. How many people are aware that he's already here? Was Simon or Simeon and Anna, were they aware that he was already there? God had showed them. They were expecting. And because they were expecting, when his presence came to the temple, they saw. To them that look for him shall he come the second time without sin. So, in that day, as in this, Israel and the entire world were under Roman dominance. And as such, they were in the midst of a global reset. Oh yeah, they were going through a global reset. A Roman global reset. You see the Alpha and Omega? The great dragon Satan was using the power of the beast system under Rome to impose a new reset upon the world at that time. The atmosphere consisted of soldiers in the streets, a takeover of the governments had been imposed, and all freedoms were removed. With curfews set up to control the people, all mass assembling of the people was restricted, and you had to have identification papers to travel. And on top of that, a new tax system was being imposed upon the people to control all populations. And that is why each individual had to return to their birthplace, or their place of birth, to get registered into the new tax system. Everything is repeating. Only this time you don't have to return to where you were born. They want to inject it into your arm, the human crypto system. Revelation 12:1 tells us, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon upon her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail, the tale that he told," that's Isaiah 9:15, "the ancient and honorable, he is the head, but the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail." So it was a tale that he told, took a third of the stars of heaven, and Brother Branham says on this from questions and answers, or Hebrews question and answers. Now over in Revelation the 12th chapter, he gives a picture of the woman standing, the sun at her feet, at her head, and the moon at her feet. And the red dragon stood to devour the child as soon as it was born. And he took his tail and pulled a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Did you notice that? Now that doesn't mean that Satan has a long tail that he hooked around the people, but the tale that he told. And he pulled a third of the star of those stars. Those stars were Abraham's seed. Abraham said, "Oh God, God told Abraham, look up into the heavens and number the stars if you can." He said, "I can't do it." He said, "Neither can you be able to number your seed." So the tale that he told drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and they cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her for 1,260 days. I believe that's 3.5 years. And just as Satan was orchestrating his reset, God was beginning his own reset that was to do just exactly the opposite of what Satan was doing. His was to bring liberty and to set the captives free. His was to bring freedom for all, peace towards all men, which is the essence of true love. Now this morning I'd like to speak on this subject of expectation, and hopefully this will help us to have a better understanding of the true Christian Christmas message. Now this morning I'd like to entitle this Christmas message, Expectations, and show what took place before he came to set the atmosphere for his coming. To begin our lesson this morning, I would like to read from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. For there was in the days of Herod the king of Judah a certain priest named Zacharias, and of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no children, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both were well stricken in years. Now notice we continue in this thought of unrighteousness and unrighteousness, that both Zacharias and Elizabeth were both righteous, which means they were both rightly wise. They understood the day and the hour that they were living. And they were both righteous. The word is dikaios. And it's used of him whose way of thinking, his feelings, and acting is wholly conformed to the will of God, and who therefore needs no rectification in their heart or life, and they're approved of or acceptable of God. So it says they were both righteous, rightly wise, before God, or in the presence of God, walking. They had ordered their life or connected their life in such a way, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, and they were blameless. Now this couple had made a conscious effort to walk and to talk and to live a life that honored and placed God's word and his commandments above everything in their life, giving God all the preeminence. And they had made God's word and ordinances the highest goal and aspiration in their life. I like what Brother Brown said about this couple from Resurrection of Lazarus. He says, before God does anything here on earth, I want you to catch this close. Before God does anything on earth, he always sends a witness from heaven to declare it. Now, before Jesus was born, why, God sent a witness of this. Signs and wonders begin to appear of his coming, just as it's appearing today by witnesses of his second coming again. See, signs and wonders. This is the day that there's never been an age through all the church ages that's ever produced what this age is producing right now, for it's the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. Don't you believe it? Drawing nigh, rather. And we're nearing the time of the close of this world's history when Jesus shall come. Notice, signs begin to appear. And there was a man by the name of Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, righteous, holy people, keeping the commandments of God and walking in all the statutes and ordinances of God, blameless. That's the kind of home we need today. Don't you believe it? Instead of that, in the church today, we have everything else but holiness and righteousness. But they were righteous people, godly people, walking in the commandments of the Lord, keeping all the ordinances, and they were blameless. Zechariah was a priest at the temple, and his office was to burn incense while prayer was being made. One day, while he was in the temple burning incense, Gabriel, an angel from God, came down and stood by the altar of incense and said, Zacharias, fear not, your prayers have been heard. Oh, I love that. His wife was barren. She hadn't had any children. She was past the age of bearing, but he lived right before God and believed on God, and all of his great, dark, long hours of worry, finally the angel of God came and said, God has heard your prayers. Now, if you want God to hear your prayers, send an angel to your home. Live right. Do right. Treat everybody right. That means the people you don't like, treat them right. And be right before God, and God will grant that to you. We can close right there. Listen again to what Brother Branham, vindicated prophet of God, said. He said, now, if you want God to hear your prayer, send an angel to your home. Live right and do right. And treat everybody right and be right before God, and God will grant that to you. Therefore, Zacharias met an angel from the Lord. His name was Gabriel. And he told Zacharias all that would take place concerning he and his wife and how they would have a child. And the child would go before and prepare the way of the Son of God to come. And so what did Zacharias do? He finished out his duties and then went home to his wife and began preparing for the coming of the prophet messenger that was to introduce Messiah to the world, their little one that God had promised would be born. Now Luke, picking up at verse 21 to 24, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid himself 5 months, saying, and then I just like to say, expectations. Could you imagine what went on in the minds of Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth? Here they were old and well stricken with age, as the scripture says. And yet the first thing we hear from God's word is that he could hardly wait to finish his job. And then like a bee to the hive, he went straight home to his wife with the good news. And what news it must have been to her, being barren all those years. Now think of what went on in her mind. I can just imagine what she must have been thinking. Here's my husband. He's been away for about 2 weeks. And he comes home with this story about having a baby. A promise from an angel of all things. And how do we have this baby? There's got to be a preparation made. I know what must have gone on in his mind, she's thinking. After all, he must have been lonely up there in the temple for those 2 weeks. But really, Zacharias, you don't have to tell me an angel told you to do this. I mean, after all, I still love you as my husband, and all you have to do is ask, and I'm yours. But an angel? Now, babies just don't come by spontaneous combustion, nor do they come by talking about them, nor by wishful thinking. The angel told Zacharias the promise of a son, but Zacharias had to act upon the word of promise for the fulfillment to take place. Just as William Branham had to do the act in order for his son Joseph to be born, there's only been one spoken word child, and that was Jesus. All others were promised children, but not spoken word children. And there's a big difference. Mary did not have to act, nor get Joseph to do anything for Jesus to come. God created in her a spoken word child. But Joseph Branham and John the Baptist, and for all that matters Isaac, were not spoken word children, but children of a promise. I hope you understand the difference. See, people try to say, well, Joseph Branham, he's spoken word. He's not spoken word. He was a promise from God. But William Branham had to do the act in order to bring forth that child. Now, there's something the husband and wife must do in order to get that child to come. I don't have to go into that this morning. But to know that God is watching your every action, it would kind of make you uncomfortable, if you know what I mean. But notice what the scripture tells us. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministry were accomplished, he departed to his house, his own house. And after those days, went in his own house, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Now notice that the Lord knew the exact time of this conception would take place. We continue with 26, verse 26. And in the 6 months, the angel of Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored of the Lord. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not any man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Did you hear that? For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. In other words, he that made the promise came and confirmed that promise. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth for all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arms. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our father, to Abraham, to his seed forever. And many abode with her, and Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth, full time came that she would be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but she shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by thy name. And they made signs to his father that he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around about him. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid upon him in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy and promise to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that we should grant unto him that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Again, we see in Matthew 24, verses 42 to 51, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord cometh. But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made him ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of the servants shall come in the day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now look, brothers and sisters, it's all about your expectations. If you expect him, then you conduct yourself as though you do expect him. In his sermon, Expectations, Brother Brown tells us, I've asked that God bless you all, and I want to speak just a moment, and then we'll start praying for the sick. Now, first, we want to think tonight on this text. If I would call it a text, just for a few moments, and I would like to use these words in it, expectations. As I mentioned here the other night, you usually get what you expect, don't you? If you come tonight to the meeting just expecting to see something that you can criticize the meeting about, the devil will show you plenty of it. You go back with a lot of criticism just like you expected. But if you come tonight expecting, just say, Lord, I come to see you. I come to benefit, to be healed. I come to for the benefit of my soul. Well, I expect you to give it to me because I'm here in this place that's dedicated to your glory. And you'll you'll get just what you expect. That's right. You always, and you can never go above your own expectations. You'll always have to do that. And when a man is born of the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, everything he has need in his life, in life's journey, is in him right then. And the holy thing that he the only thing he has to do is just drink from that inexhaustible fountain of life, which is Jesus Christ, until he pushes out divine healing, powers of God. He just pushes it out by drinking from the everlasting, inexhaustible fountain of life, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, from his sermon, Expectations and What is Love, Brother Bram says, now I want each one of you now in your hearts to dwell on this thought of expectations. Whatever you expect is usually what you get. You heard about the lady that prayed for a mountain to be moved and got up the next morning, looked out the window and said, just as I expected, still there. Well, that's the reason. She expected it. That's right. Now, you want to have an expectation all the way from your heart, your soul, your body, and mind that God is going to give us a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, I feel it. That's it. That it's near. And God is willing and ready to give it to us. See, so many people say, well, I prayed, but you weren't expecting to be healed. See, you went into prayer saying, Lord, if it's your will, I'm asking you to heal me. It's already his will. It's been done 2,000 years ago. The only reason why you still have your particular ailment is because you're not expecting your healing. You're not expecting it. You're not acting like you're expecting it. Now, if you expect, that's what you receive. If you come to the meeting saying, well, I'm going to find some flaws on that meeting. I'll find some flaws of that preacher. I'll bet you can. Don't worry. You'll get it. The devil will show you plenty of them. Yes, sir. You go back and say, just as I expected. That's just the way it was. Same group found fault with Jesus when he went through the pool of Bethesda. And all those cripples laying there, halt, lame, blind, withered, caused by every one of them, never healed any of them, went over and healed a man laying on a pallet and walked away. Them Jews, Now, if he's a healer, let him heal them. See? Just as you expect, that's what you get. But you come to the meeting expecting to see the glory of God moving, the power of God, sinners being saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, sickness being healed, then watch what God shows you. Yes, sir. See, you are a creator in yourself. How many is born again? Say amen. All right. I didn't hear that. How many is born again? Say amen. Amen. All right. Do you know each one of you is a creator? You are a part of God. You're a son of God, an offspring of God, a daughter of God. Is that right? Then you are a creator. Now, did you ever see people? They were nice people. I ain't saying this for any back now. Nice people, but you just couldn't hardly stand to get around them. You know that. Nice people, it's that atmosphere that they're in. Then you've seen other people that you just love to be with them. Is that right? It's an atmosphere that's around them all the time. Now, my wife's sitting back there. She don't know this, but she's supposed to be here somewhere. And you can imagine in our home what takes place in a run of a day. People coming and going like that. And I go in sometimes and the poor little fellow in there in the kitchen crying. Not even a chance to cook the children anything to eat through the day. And there it is. And the little kitty, the little girl about 2 years old, little Sarah and Rebecca. And they're in there and they're crying and going on. And my wife crying and she look up and she'd say, Bill, I'm just about to go crazy. I just don't know what I'm going to do. She said, and gray haired at 34 years old. And I said, well, now, that's right, honey. Don't fuss at her. See? No? That's right, honey. See? It's very bad, but you see, we're serving the Lord. So, what I'm doing all the time in my heart, I'm trying to create a different atmosphere. They're all nervous and they're tore up. See? Now, I was thinking in my heart, oh Lord, now send your presence and your love to my poor little wife, tore up wife. And I say, yes, dear. That's right. I say, what is this here? Oh, we haven't had anything to eat. And I say, well, there probably won't be anybody in here for the next couple of hours, so let's just get something to eat. And I'll help you. And I'll start rolling up my sleeves, you know, getting my sleeves up. And she said, now look here, young man. You might be able to help me wash the dishes, but you can't cook. And I'll say, oh, who can't cook? Like that, you know, and just going on. And, well, you haven't never seen me fry potatoes yet. And I was raising them, like something like that. And I'll see a little bitty smile trickle on one side, you know. And the first thing you know, I come over and I put my hand on her. Now, she don't know what I'm doing. And I say, bless your heart, honey. And I tell you, I'll help you do this. But then down in my heart, I'm saying, Lord, send my peace. And your peace is in me, into her now. Oh, God, quieten my family now. I'm your servant, Father. See what he's doing. Lays his hand on her. He thinks he's giving her comfort, which he is, but he's actually laying hands on her and praying. All right. In here he's praying, but his words are just comforting words. And the first thing you know, she'd say, Bill, you know a certain thing? Them little old black eyes were snapping back again. And, you know, yeah, I look at the baby and she's in there, got her blocks and babies are playing together. And what is it? It's creating an atmosphere. Hallelujah. Brother, let me tell you, the atmosphere is what does it. It's exactly right. Look, it's not the hen that hatches the egg, it's the atmosphere. Yes, sir, that's right. You see, brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us, he that doeth right is righteous. That is what the Apostle John told us in 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, God, is righteous. And when you are righteous, which is rightly wise, then you do what is rightly wise. And that creates an atmosphere, and the atmosphere brings forth an expectation. If we truly had a revelation of how soon the resurrection is going to take place. You see, faith, John said there remaineth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Well, faith is the revelation. And it brings forth hope, which is an earnest expectation. Out of that revelation comes forth an earnest expectation, and it produces a result. It produces an action, which is love. All right? You know, you can't have love if there's no action there. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Now, Brother Brown continues. He says, you put that same egg under a pup, it'd hatch a chicken just the same. Just put it in an incubator, it'll bring forth a chicken just the same. It's the atmosphere. Hallelujah. What we need is a Holy Ghost atmosphere. That's right. An atmosphere where the power of God's moving. One accord, one place, gathered together under the atmosphere of expecting God to move down and to do signs and wonders. Amen. Let's move ourselves up into that bracket. Step in faith. Move out of these three dimensions up into the next one. And from paragraph 63, he says, say, Lord, I just believe that you're going to pour your blessings. I'm expecting it now. All things are moving right in, and I'm expecting you to see exceedingly, abundantly now. I'm expecting it. And you come down and you say, well, I don't know about it. Well, see, you hurt that other person. Now you're sitting by one of them, and you say, oh, Lord, just tear them down now, and I'm expecting great things, see? And that expectancy will get that unity among the people. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. It brought the Holy Ghost in the first place. They went up there and stayed 10 days and nights, until they were all in one place and with one accord, blessing God for something that they did not have. Again, he says, they were thanking God for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had never come yet. But they had it in the seed form. Like, if I say, wonder if an acorn tree would grow down here, you say, well, I guess it would. And I give you an acorn. I say, I'll give you an acorn tree. And you say, all right, Brother Brown, we'd like to see it if an acorn would grow down here in the backyard. And I give you, I'm going to put it in the right kind of soil, just like you got up in the north, and I'm going to see if it'll grow. All right, now, if you put this acorn, I give it to you, you say, well, Brother Brown, you said you'd give me an acorn tree. I said, I did. Well, how do you give me an acorn? You've got the tree already. It's in the seed form. Is that right? You've got the tree already. It's in the seed form. You see, you've got the Word of God for your promise. I just read you this morning. It's yours. You've got to believe it. Step into it. Put the action. And that's the way we have to get it. In the seed form. All one accord. One place. They was blessing God for the Holy Ghost. which had never come yet. But they believed that it was because God was going to keep His promise. And when they kept blessing God until that atmosphere got just right, and remember it, Alpha repeats in Omega. Elizabeth. Then there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. See, the atmosphere got right. Oh, couldn't we get an atmosphere here that every crippled, every blind, every sick person, everything will, with one accord, believing until the sick? I seen it last week in Wood River, where there wasn't a person left. They just piled up the crutches and wheelchairs and cots, and I was standing at the platform preaching like this, and they just begin to raise up, throw them to the corners, and the atmosphere got right. Oh, brother, God sends us an atmosphere that'll make it in, of one accord, one place. Let the power of God surge down. That atmosphere gets right. It opens up every move. That backs every clog and everything. The law of God will move. Here not long ago, we had a man, for instance, these electric lights. Thomas Edison was the founder of it. But we'll take it. The world had been full of electricity since the world began, all around. Well, now, listen. I just want to ask you something. Now, there was a man that God was fixing to give electricity to the world. I believe when God's program is ready, everything will work right to its place. Don't you? Has to be foreordained to do so. Now, so Benjamin Franklin went fishing with a kite. Well, lightning run down the string, and he caught it, and he began to run to holler. He said, I got it. He had it, but he didn't know what he had. Well, that's what's the matter with our Pentecostal church. You've got it, but you don't know what you got. That's it. That's right. Yeah, you've got power enough to open the blind, open the eyes of the blind, unstop the ears of the deaf, to do all things, but you come in with a twisted up atmosphere. Let's get in one accord so the Holy Ghost can pour out the gushers upon the people, one place, one accord. Along come Thomas Edison. He said, listen, it'll light up. He tried 10,000 wires. He said it wasn't timeless. He set up with a cup of coffee and a sandwich all night. He tried this one. If the electric wouldn't flow that follow that wire, then he lay it aside and get him another one. He tried this and tried that until finally he found it. And he gave the world electricity. Now, for instance, if you was here back behind some of these big, dark mountains tonight, it was so dark, black and dark down there until you couldn't see where you're going. You might fall over a rock or step into a snake or you didn't know what was going to happen. One of these big Gila monsters or something laying up there and you know electricity is all around you. You would scream till you got hoarse. Oh, electricity, light up. Show me how to get out of here. Oh, I know that you're here. I know that you're here, electricity. It's unscientifically proven that you're here. I know that you're here, so lighten up. You could scream till you got hoarse, and it'll never light up. Why? Because electricity will light if you follow the law of electricity, but you've got to follow the laws of electricity. Zacharias had to impregnate his wife for her to receive that promised son. William Branham had to impregnate Meta in order for Joseph to be born. You understand? Got to have that happen in order for the promise to be made. But if you follow the laws of gravitation, you can make it. God is here this afternoon. Now we've got to follow the laws of God. The law of God is one accord, love one another. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Believeth, hopeth all things, trusteth all things, to do with all. Oh my. And there you are, one accord, everybody under expectation that God's going to pour down His power. Listen, you know it's here. Scientifically, you know it's here. Look here. How could Mrs. Waldorf be sitting here dying with a cancer? How many across the world of the thousand times a thousand of cases? How could you a drunkard a few weeks ago or a few months ago and a gentleman this afternoon, how could you a street walker, a street harlot a few weeks ago and a lady this afternoon, by the transforming power of God being transmitted by the Holy Ghost into your heart, change your nature and change your making? It made you another person, that's right. You might not have felt, well, I don't know about that, but it's here anyhow. Whether you feel it or not, it's God. Let's give God thanks for it. For it's here anyhow. I can prove to you right here, there's a coming right through you, radio. You don't feel it, but you know it's here. There's a television picture coming right through you, but you don't feel it, but it's there anyhow. Oh my. Now, if our body was magnetized to that, like big words, and say, yes, stretched out from the window to this window, it'll sweep through the building, yes, going right through you. Somebody saying yes on the radio, well, it comes right through you as it goes through them power lines and or those powers and electronics and so forth. It goes through your body. Now, when it hits against the crystal in the set or just catches like that and you hear yes, well, God now, if God up there said, by His stripes you are healed, the Holy Ghost entwines, brings that down by the power of God. Your heart is set on that. It says, yes, by His stripes we are healed. God, you said in Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. Lord, we prayed for a meeting. We've been fasting for a meeting. We've been crying for a meeting. Yes, Lord, I believe that meeting's on the road. Then stand there like, oh, till the power of God comes down. And when it hits, it says, yes. The next man says, yes. Look at it, and you got a double power, yes. Yes. And triple power, yes. And four times power, yes. First thing you know, it becomes 1,000 powers of yes. Then the Holy Spirit moves in and confirms the Word of God with signs and wonders following. That's it. That's what we need, an expectation. During the time of the birth of Jesus, it was in the day something like this when the people had wandered away from God. There was not very many ways to send messages, radio telegrams and so forth like they got now in television. The only way that they had to send messages there was from lip to ear. Quickly, listen to him now. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. We're taught in the Bible that wise men saw a star when they was over in the east, followed it all the way to Palestine. Is that right? Well, they had time. They had kept time by the stars of them days. Every city had a little observatory on top of it. And they kept the watchmen set up there and told time by the stars. And in the daytime, they told by the sundial, you know, the watchman on the tower, and they asked for the time. Now, they've kept time, and yet, here it is. I want you to get it. The star passed over every one of those cities, and not one of those men saw it. But our Bible declares that it was done. And I believe it did. We saw His star in the east and have come to worship Him. Is that right? And they moved, led by this star moving them, and this great star of all the stars, the greatest of all, moved right by the scientific world, and they never saw it. Why? They wasn't expecting it. But there was some wise men who heard Balaam's prophecy, there'd be a star of Jacob rise. They was expecting it. They were looking for it. They found it. They followed it. They were looking for it, and I'm looking for something. Aren't you? My soul is stimulated to the highest just before the coming of the Lord Jesus to see something happen that's going to shake the Gentile world before God leaves. Yes, I'm expecting it in Phoenix. I'm looking for it. And I want you to agree with me and expect it. These wise men, they said, someday, my father said, here it is written in the Bible. His father said, there'd be a star of Jacob rise. And when they saw that star, when it appeared, they were looking for it. They saw it, and the rest of them didn't. They didn't see it. Nobody said, don't you think them people who cry and shout are all emotional and worked up? No, sir, they're not. Brother Bram, don't you think it's psychologically speaking? No, sir, I do not. They're expecting something. They're expecting manna from heaven to feed their souls. While they're setting under expectations, God is under obligation to give them the manna from heaven because they're expecting it. You're expecting a meeting. God's under obligation to give it to you. Now, here they come. Then we see the shepherds come out and sing in the hills of Judea because they was always singing at the birth of the king. 8 days later, we find Jesus going to the temple in his mother's arms, mother packing him. There was an old man up there, an old sage, or we call him a preacher, long beard, hair. And he had a fine reputation among the people. And he was a renowned man. And he had a fine reputation. And one day, when he was out, the Holy Ghost told him, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. And he believed it. And he was expecting it. He went around. He didn't care what the rest of the church said. He didn't care what all the prestige. And he said, I ain't going to die till I see the Lord's Christ. I can hear some of them saying, you know, the old fellow's kind of getting old just a little bit. You know, something wrong with him up there. And they usually say that, you know. There's something wrong with him up there. You know, the people. Well, what was the matter? He was expecting God to keep His word. Had a good reason, didn't he? Well, how you know you're going to see it? David looked for it. Even Adam. All the way back has looked for it for 4,000 years has passed, and there has been no sign of it at all. I don't care what passed. The Holy Ghost told me I was going to see it and believe it, and that settles it. That's a good reason, isn't it? You mean you're here 80 years old and 1 foot in the grave? I don't care how old I am. I'm going to see the Christ before I die because the Holy Ghost said so. I'm going right around expecting it, thanking God for His promise because I'm going to see Him. Oh my, there you are. He was expecting to see the Christ. And how many of you are expecting to be in the resurrection meeting? Now, on this same principle of expectation that our prophet is talking to us here, he said in a sermon, God in Simplicity, when a minister walks into the congregation of people praying in the anointing of the Spirit, you're bound to hear from heaven. That's just all. There's no way to keep from it. But if you walk into confusion, then you're just so confused and the Spirit's grieved. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. When the fire that fell at Pentecost, and it baptized in Jesus' name. Again, from expectations, as you usually get what you expect, you come criticize the meeting, the devil will show you something to criticize, you come to get healed, God will see to it that you get it. You usually get what you expect, yet you say, I was expecting this and I was expecting that. What you expect, God will see that you get. Usually you get what you expect. From leading of the Spirit, he said, expectations, if you're expecting it, you will receive it. Did you hear that? If you're expecting it, you will receive it. You usually get what you expect. If you come to the meeting tonight expecting to find something to criticize the meeting, the devil will show you. He will give you what... He will see that you get satisfied. You get what you expect. Remember, Job said, the things I feared the most came upon me. Why? He was expecting them. If you come to get a blessing, God will see that you get it. If you come to get saved, God will see that you get it. If you come to get healed, be expecting to get healed. God will see that you get it. It's what you expect. Again, from expectations, he said we always get what we expect. When people expect anything, well, then they usually get what they look for. It's a mental attitude that you have. Remember this and never forget it. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God. It doesn't take gifts of healing to heal sick people. Any person in here has a right to meet Satan anywhere, if you're a Christian, and defeat him on any grounds that he could stand on. And just a few more and we'll close. From God revealing himself to his people, he said, the right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Do you believe that? The word is a seed, is that right? That a sower sowed in the ground, and every seed will bring forth of his kind. If you need salvation, the seed is here. If you need healing, here's the seed in the word. The word of God is a seed. Put it into your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted. Put it in there and leave it there. It's God's business to bring forth the harvest. You just leave it there. Water it by faith. And pray and praise every day, thanking God for it. Notice, water it every day. How do you water it? By the washing of water, by the word. You keep bringing back to God His word, His promise. Say, you said, Father. You said, Father. And then praise God every day, thanking Him for it. From the hours come, he says, the right mental attitude. That's your right mental attitude towards God's divine promise will bring any promise to pass. From the presence of God, and recognize that if we could only do that tonight, people, if we could only realize that He's appearing to us in these meetings for one purpose, and that's to release our desires that we have in Him to us. But we've got to recognize His presence. And now, how you recognize His presence is when the promised word for this age is made manifest, not the promised word for Moses' age or any other age, the promised word of this age. Now, let me leave this one thought with you this morning. God is not down here on a vacation. He is here on serious business. He's here to confirm every divine promise that He has made to His elect children. That's what He's here for. Therefore, as He says in a sermon, we would see Jesus. He said we should be the happiest people on earth because that He who gave us the promise of eternal life is alive and with us tonight to confirm that promise. What a wonderful thing. Again, from all things are possible, He said it's over. It's finished. The God that made the promise is here to confirm it. Again, in a sermon, God's provided ways to remember. We believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not dead, but alive forevermore, and He's here tonight. We are in His presence tonight, and He's here to confirm and make good any promise that He made for this day. Any promise? Alpha and Omega. Now, brothers and sisters, you can believe that He is here to confirm to you the adoption. He's here to make you manifested as sons of God. He's here to conform you to the image of the firstborn son, to get you ready by this message for a body change. Or you can believe He is here to bring you judgment. Take your pick. It's on your hands. What is your expectation? Satan might have his reset all planned out, but God has a reset going on right now as well. God's here to reset everything by building it back better. Yeah. First to shout, to transform us by the renewing of the mind, to give us His doxa, to make us to be conformed to the image of His firstborn son, then to bring us together in the time of resurrection or the resurrection season, and to change our bodies, getting us ready for this great His great reset, where He makes a new heaven and a new earth and brings us to the millennium, then brings down the new Jerusalem and brings forth the new earth. God has a reset, and our expectations is to believe that we are a part of His plan. And His reset promises us an eternity of peace and love, for God has promised us in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor has ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Now, as we close in a word of prayer, I would like for Caleb and Elizabeth to come up. I'm going to lay hands on you. I believe this is the time that God is going to break forth and Elizabeth bring forth a child by His grace. Let's go. Gracious Father, we just know that there is an expectation, Father, that there's a desire, oh God, to have a child. And Father, just as You had me to lay hands on the people over in Africa, they couldn't have children. 8 years they were married, couldn't have children. And after we laid hands upon them, Father, they had four. And so, Lord, we're asking You that You're not a respecter of persons, but that You would bless this young couple, Lord, who Brother Caleb and Elizabeth felt the same way as Elizabeth of old. And Father, since You're not a respecter of persons, You gave her a child. Father, I'm praying for Elizabeth, Lord, that You would give her a child. And Brother Caleb, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now you guys go believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's just thank the Lord, for He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe if God used these hands to lay hands on that couple over there that couldn't have children. There's another couple here in the States I did that with as well. I believe God can do it for my own daughter. Amen. Well, let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed. Unto Him again.